Amen. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It's so great to be with you this morning. Want to give a shout out to those joining us online. And I believe our pastor and his family are joining us online. If they are, love you, Pastor Greg, Lisa, and Boomer. Miss y'all. Hope you have a wonderful sabbatical. You are missed. Well, today I would like to invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word or a tablet or phone, fire them up. Turn, open your book to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The German philosopher Schopenhauer compared humans to a bunch of porcupines huddling together on a cold winter's night. He said, the colder it gets, the more huddle to people would to stay warm. But the closer people got together, the more they would hurt one another by poking each other with their quills. And in the lonely night of Earth's winter, eventually we begin to drift apart and wander out on our own and freeze because of being lonely. Jesus Christ has given us an alternative to that. He gives us instruction to forgive each other for the pokes that may come from our quills. This forgiveness allows us to stay together and be warm, which leads me to the purpose I feel that we need to hear from the Word of God today, and a great reminder for Christians in 2025, unity. If you have your notes on the back of the bulletin, write a big unity at the very top. If you're able to stand in reverence to God's Word this morning with me, would you please stand as we read from Philippians chapter 2, following verse 1 through 4, if you're able to stand with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning, and this is what the Word of God says. Verse 1, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, verse 2, by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourself. Everyone should look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly seeking a word from you today. Father, Holy Spirit, have your way and speak to us. Thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace and your love and your mercies that are new each and every day. And I thank you. I thank you how you are in the business of changing lives. Thank you for the gospel, the hope, and the foundation that is built through what Christ did on the cross and the resurrection. Father, you be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get started, I should have explained to you at the very, very beginning. My wife told me this morning, what are you wearing? And then my daughter also said, what are you wearing? We had our young adult discipleship weekend, and the theme was rooted in service. And these are our shirts. They had three goals in mind. How we're to serve the church, how are we to serve in the world, and how are we to serve one another? Pastor Jordan Winnington from First Baptist Farmers Branch came and brought a word, and it was great. In the first service, we had 22 of our young adults sitting in the corner with their blue shirts on. It looked great. It was a wonderful time. So we're so blessed to have a discipleship weekend. Now let's get back to the Word of God. In your bulletin on the back, the Roman numeral number 1, you write down the background for me. The background of Philippians, this letter was written from the Apostle Paul, and it was written toward the end of Paul's first Roman imprisonment, around 60 AD to 62 AD. This letter is known as a prison epistle. Paul had been under house arrest for nearly 2 years as a result of his appeal to Caesar before Festus, according to Acts 25. The theme of this letter, Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi to live as citizens of a heavenly place, growing in their commitment to serve God and serve one another. Paul points to Jesus as the supreme example of the way we should live. Paul himself is also an example of this. In this letter, there's several things Paul talks about. Just a couple quick highlights I would like to share. Paul tells the church that Epaphroditus has recovered from a serious illness. He wrote to them to encourage them to continue to walk in faith. He wrote to them to assure them that he was in good spirits in spite of being in jail. Lastly, he was thankful for their continued support for the ministry that they were sharing throughout the world. Today, we're looking closely at one piece of the puzzle from Philippians. Is this, remain united, agree with in the Lord. As he writes this letter, he urges two ladies to get along in a loving way. Which leads us to Roman numeral number 2 in your outline, expectations of unity. And the reason why I wrote expectations is because if you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, if you are a Christian here today, this is how we ought to live daily. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 with me, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. In verse 1, do you hear a common word that's mentioned there? 4 times, he says, if. You may want to underline that or circle that as you're taking notes. If, in this section, in the Greek language, is better translated as since. Since means certainties. Since is not possibilities. Certainties are facts, not hypotheticals. Because if, again, you're found in Jesus Christ, you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb, these 5 points, 1 through 5, these are how we are to walk in this world. In your outline, number 1, it says, since you have Christ, you have encouragement. Encouragement. The Greek word here is paraklesis. It's actually 2 words together. Para, kaleo, coming together. It's painting a picture for us that Jesus called alongside us to him, and he's encouraging us to walk along with him in this life. That should be sweet to our ears and refreshing to our souls, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have once who lived in darkness now walk in light with Jesus Christ. Does anything lift our spirits more than knowing that we are found in him? There shouldn't be. But that shouldn't give us encouragement that what we're facing today, that we're going to be able to come through on the other side with Jesus walking with us. Some of us here today might be facing difficulties of finances, relationships, health, family issues, job issues. I want to encourage you, focus on Jesus. The Word of God from the Old Testament, it reminds us that whenever they were going through a tough time, maybe trying to get through the waters, they were instructed to build an altar, stack rocks, to remind them that this is what God did throughout your life and throughout your walk. Remember what Christ has done for you. He always comes through. Always. Number 2, on your outline. Another since statement. Since you have Christ, you have consolation of love. The Greek phrase here is two words again put together, paramuthion, which means towards and to speak. Share a story. And what type of story are you to share? It says right here, love, and it's agape love. Since we have Christ, we speak in a loving manner to one another. But we also should speak in a loving manner to this lost world. At the tip of our tongues, may we always remember the old rugged cross on a hill far away. At the tip of our tongues, may we always remember the old, old story, how a king came from glory, who saved me and saved you by going to a cross, and how we speak to one another in love is a evangelism tool for people who don't know Jesus to see. Why do I say that? I'm a recipient of that. I didn't grow up in the church. I thought I was a Christian because, well, I never shot anybody, I never robbed anybody. I mean, I maybe stole a candy bar here and there, but that's okay, right? I was a good person. I mean, I told a lie, but hey, it wasn't that bad. I'm a recipient of somebody being loving towards me, somebody who was far from God. It was my in-laws. I don't know if they're online. I don't want to say hi. But I was a recipient of them showing Christ-like agape love to me. They walked with me, and they showed me mercy and grace. They probably did judge me, but they never showed it or told me. They were always kind to me. My mother-in-law used to shares this phrase with me, and I've carried it with me ever since I've been in ministry. Kill evilness with kindness, Dane. It's hard to do. But how they spoke with me and how they spoke to one another, the Holy Spirit was ministering me into that moment. And folks, as we go out these doors, you're going to have an opportunity to speak love under your breath as you get on the highway and head home, because I guarantee you're going to get cut off or honked at on the way home. May you show Christ-like love in that instance. And it's hard. But showing consolation of love to the brethren, to brothers and sisters in Christ, is very important. There's something going on here at First Baptist Garland in the next couple of months. And I want to encourage you, let us be unified in this, continuing to lift up our pastor, lift up our leadership as we move forward, and we're going to be going into a new building in the near future. It's exciting times here at First Baptist Garland. Exciting to be a part of what God is doing. But don't let the devil use our words to try to tear down. Let us have the language of us and we as we help build the kingdom of God here in First Baptist Garland. May our language never change to them or they. It's us. We. And as I think about this, 100 years from now when I'm gone praising Jesus, I know that First Baptist Garland is going to continue to preach the gospel and lives are going to be changed throughout the world. Amen? Amen. Back to your outline. Number three, another expectation we see is since you have Christ, you have fellowship with the Spirit. I like what the old pastor Adrian Rogers said once. You may know that name. He said, fellowship is not about coffee and donuts. And I was like, man, he had me. He had to go there. Coffee and donuts is not fellowship. Fellowship is not two people just being around each other. Fellowship is two fellows in the ship together. It's a great picture, isn't it? Of Jesus with us. Sometimes those waters are smooth, and sometimes those waters are moving fast. Sometimes there's rain and storms around us in that water. But hold tight to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hold on to Christ. It's going to get better. But you know what else? We also should have a fellow with us in the boat, a brother or sister in Christ. We need one another. I need you, you need me. Sisters, you need a sister, a sister needs you. We need one another. This is not an idea, this is a reality. That we need one another in fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is a koinonia. Means like fellowship also was a gift. And every Sunday, and outside of church, when we see each other, it's a gift. Every Sunday when we gather to worship our Heavenly Father, it should be a family reunion. It is. But being in your presence, seeing you, it's a gift. It's a blessing. Look at the number four on your outline. Under the expectation, since you have Christ, you have affection. Now, four and five go hand in hand. I'm going to go ahead and give you five. It's mercy. And why do I say that? Well, the Greek root word for affection is splagkanon. And I'm not going to tell you what it means because it's almost lunchtime. But it's tied to the feelings right here that something's turning. And I didn't share this in the first service, but I share it now because I love my brother, Pastor Michael. But when his father went home to be, or his mother went home to be with Jesus, it hurt right here. Because I knew my brother was hurting. And when you're sick, when you're hurting, we feel it here. That's our affection for one another. I hurt alongside you. We hurt alongside you. And this is biblical. Why do I say that? This is something that we go through. Jesus himself felt the same way. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew 14, verse 14, Matthew 15, verse 32, Matthew 18, verse 27, Matthew 20, verse 34. Through our love of Christ, it overflows to one another. When you hurt, we do. We're walking alongside you. But remember, I told you that four and five go together. This feeling calls us to have action. Mercy. Number five, mercy. The Greek word that is used here is from the root word oikterio, which means to have compassion with the heart. And in doing the word study in this section, I found this to be helpful for me. Affection is this tender feeling that we have here. Mercy is the action to follow through. Mercy is the O factor. You hurt? Oh, I'm going to do something about it. Over Christmas, I got a text message from a friend, my old baseball coach. Got up in the middle of the night, was having chest pain. Went to go sit on his couch. At 3 o'clock in the morning, his wife woke up, found him. He went to be with the Lord at 8 o'clock. I hurt for my brother. So what did I do? Put in the action. I called him. And we reflected on the memories we had, and I told him I loved him. That's how we should be to one another. I want to encourage you. Let us go out of our way to tell people, how can I pray for you? Are you hurting? Are you struggling? Let me pray for you. And do it right then and there. Let's continue to move on. Look at verse 2 of Philippians 2. It says, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Paul is encompassing all the certainties that I shared with you from 1 through 5 to this one word, unity. That is the goal. A church that Paul planted, it brings great joy to his pastoral heart to see the church unified. By functioning in the way of encouragement, love, fellowship, having affection and being merciful towards one another. And I guarantee you, nothing brings a smile to our pastor's face than when we are in full unity with one another, seeing the church function as one heartbeat, working together as one body, going and sharing the good news wherever we're at. But nothing hurts a pastor's heart more than seeing a disunity within the body of Christ with gossip or slander or backbiting or ugliness. Unity is very important to Paul writing to the church of Philippi. It's very important to our Heavenly Father. Why do I say that? Well, in John chapter 17, verse 21, it says, "May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so the world may believe you who sent me." Listen, my personality doesn't match up with certain people's personality. I have understand that. 43 years old, I get that. But you and I, we are not going to agree on everything. We are not. But my love for the Heavenly Father should overflow to you in respect and love, and not be talking with a forked tongue, but a tongue that is controlled through the Holy Spirit. It's hard to control, I know. Read the book of James. But we are to be unified and understand that we have one common goal in the body of Christ. Love God the Father with our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor. As a parent, nothing hurts my heart more than seeing my children fight. But nothing makes my heart full than to see them smile and play together. I have heard it said when tuning pianos, and just to give you encouragement, Pastor Mark, the piano don't sound great. You've heard it said that in tuning pianos, you can't use one piano to tune other pianos. You must have a source that is perfect, that makes the perfect pitch, like a tuning fork. And for us to be unified, we have to have the perfect source between one another, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Unity is important in 2025. Let's move on to our last Roman numeral number 3, the do's and the do nots of Christian unity. Look at verse 3 with me in Philippians 2. "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." Let's first look at the do nots. There's two of them here. Letter A and letter B on your outline. Rivalry and conceit. Rivalry and conceit. The root word for rivalry is erythea. The word picture here is, from the Greco-Roman lifestyle, the word picture is a mercenary. It's a mercenary who does work simply to gain money and will run over anybody that's in their way. A mercenary will do harm. A mercenary does not care what you think. A mercenary is all about I and me. If you're a Christian here today, may you always be mindful that you are first His. Your I and me was thrown out with the bathwater when you went to the foot of the cross of Jesus, because it's no longer about you. It's about Him and us. The next word, the next do not is conceit. The Greek word is kenodoxia. It means to attract, to win praise, to have main character syndrome, to be the loftiest, to be the most important, to be the main object. May it never be said so of us. We have some very, very talented people in our church. We have gifted people that are very smart, very intelligent, and physically strong, and great musicians, and great authors, and may they always be, and myself included, be humble and foremost, have Jesus above all. Now let's look at number 2 in your outline, the do's. Letter A and B on your outline is humility and others more important. Humility, we know what that word is. It's without arrogance. It's to be humble and have somebody have authority over you. You know, I've heard it said that you can't love others until you first love yourself. Where is that in the Bible? We first deny ourselves and follow Jesus. And following Him and loving Him, that is contagious for us to love others. And should be natural to us. Letter B, think of others. The Greek word hupereko. There's two Greek words here together. Huper means above or over, and echo means to have. This is a call in our lives that we will continually to hold one another up, to regard others as just as important or more important than ourselves. And this is completely foreign to a fallen human nature. It's all about dog-eat-dog world. It's all about me. But the only way that we are able to accomplish this lifestyle of putting others in front of us, for the first shall be last and the last shall be first, it only accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is not telling us to downplay or belittle our own talents. For example, if you are more skilled singer than someone else, he's not asking you to think of yourself as a worse singer. Instead, he encourages us to treat others as worthy or honorable and special consideration like us. So what's the takeaway from today? You've heard me talk plenty long. What's the takeaway from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3? Let me hit you with three quick principles. Number one, self-reflection over criticism. Self-reflection over criticism. We must cultivate a habit of examining our own flaws and shortcomings before critiquing others. True growth comes from addressing our own faults, which aligns with humility. The scripture reference is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. Test yourselves. Test yourselves. Number two, a principle to take away from today, charity in judgment. Charity in judgment. Extend grace and understanding to others, recognizing that their faults may stem from something they're struggling with or circumstances they're going through that's unknown to you. This fosters a spirit of compassion rather than condemnation. The scripture verse is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Lastly, esteem others' virtues above your own. Esteem others' virtues above your own. Acknowledge and celebrate the good in others. This helps us develop humility and unity as we value the strengths God has placed in those around us. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. These principles lived out can transform personal relationships and foster a spirit of humility and grace and strengthen us to love one another and be unified with one another. My hope and prayer today is that First Baptist Church will continue to show the love of Jesus to people around. It's amazing to see and hear the stories as an assimilation minister about how wonderful you are to people you come in contact with. Thank you. Continue on. Continue on. Some people here today or online can't live unified in the body of Christ. Why? Because you're not unified to the source of life, Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God says in Matthew 26, verse 39, that in a garden area going a little farther, Jesus fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but your will." Jesus' will was to always obey God the Father. And the will that was set forth for Jesus was to take the cup of wrath that was designated and set aside for me and for you was to be poured out on him. because of our sins. And Jesus took that cup willingly, and his body was beaten. His blood was shed innocently for you and I, so that we would be forgiven before a holy God. We would become a child of God by Jesus paying for our sins. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Most importantly, out of all of this that I've shared with you today, who is your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus today?